the progressive movement, the populist movement, the labor movement, they said, okay, we're going to limit the supply of labor. You can't hire children. So immediately the cost of labor starts going up. You can't make somebody work more than 40 hours a week. So that further tightens the labor market. So the price of labor goes up a little bit higher. You can't make somebody work more than 5 days a week. The price of labor goes up a little higher. And this is all about building a middle class. The whole point of the labor movement was to say, we want a living wage. What Teddy Roosevelt referred to, the living wage. We want a living wage. And, you know, for a lot of years in the United States, from basically the 1930s, when most of these reforms finally were successful, 1937 was the end of the Lochner Court. The Lochner decision in 1905 was the decision where the Supreme Court struck down the 40-hour week for bread bakers in New York and said, the Constitution doesn't allow the legislature to pass laws that limit the number of hours somebody can work. And that stood until 1937. And finally, Roosevelt was, you know, able to get the court together to the point where they started affirming progressive laws rather than striking them down. And so from 1937 up until Reagan came along, we had the golden age of the American middle class, and one person working could raise a family, put their kids through school, put their kids through college, pay for all their health care was covered, and retire with a pension. And in part, it was because we controlled the quantity of labor available, which drove up the price of labor, and in part, it was because we had rational trade policies so that American laborers were not competing with laborers in foreign countries on a dollar versus penny basis. A dollar's worth of labor in a pair of shoes here, 10 cents worth of labor in a pair of shoes there. You put a 90-cent import tariff on it, so it's a dollar no matter where you make it. So, you know, the manufacturers in America were always looking at labor on a level playing field. This is the exact opposite, by the way, of Tom Friedman's preaching with his World is Flat. So the conservatives come into power in 1980 with Reagan, and they say, we're going to take this apart. We're going to go back to 1905. We're going to go back to the Gilded Age. We're going to increase the supply of labor and reduce its power. And so they stop enforcing immigration laws. They start busting up unions. Illegal immigration starts to explode in the United States, further increasing the value of labor. Jack Welch is president of GE. He goes over to India and thinking that he's going over there to sell them nuclear power plants, which Bush just did on behalf of General Electric and other companies, presumably Bechtel. And while Jack Welch was over there, the Indians sold him on the idea of outsourcing some of his white-collar work, and General Electric led the charge for that, began the big outsourcing of America. Now we find 89%, this is from bignewsnetwork.com, 89% of U.S., British, and Asian corporate technology decision-makers plan to increase their outsourcing budget over the next 12 months. Survey conducted at the Patani Computer Systems Annual Conference, Patani Connect, found that 39% said they expect to increase outsourcing spending by up to 20% over current spending, while 11% plan for a 50% or more increase. So it's all about reducing the cost of labor. Well, what happens when you reduce the cost of labor? Two things happen. The first is that corporations become more profitable. They become massively more profitable. The CEO pay goes from a 30-to-1 ratio of CEO to the lowest paid employee in the company to 500-to-1. Here we are, just like we were in 1929. The second thing that happens is that the middle class begins to vanish and is replaced by the working poor. People are having to work 40, 50, 60, 70 hours, or two people have to work a combination of 80, 90, or 100 hours a week to maintain a household that in 1979 you could have maintained with one person working 40 hours a week at the same standard of living. And so the consequence of this is, you know, the destruction of the middle class, which means that as the middle class goes away, people don't have the leisure time to pay attention to the news. They don't have the leisure time to get active in politics. They don't even have the inclination. They're struggling so hard just to make a living, just to get by, and they become vulnerable to the demagogues in our society. They become more vulnerable to the people in our society who say, oh, well, the fault, I know that you're experiencing terrible times right now, and you know what's going to solve the problem? If we just get rid of abortion. Or if we just make a flag-burning amendment. Or if we just get rid of all those liberals. It's those liberals. They're the ones that cause it. And the demagogues go on their rants. And the conservatives are sitting back going, look at that. All these Americans, they think the Republicans are working for them. And they think the conservative Democrats are working for them. They're sadly mistaken. And they're laughing all the way to the bank. And the reality is now, with the social safety net as badly frayed as it is, that unlike 30 years ago, the middle class, we are all the working poor now, because everybody in the American middle class, all of us, by and large, are just a few paychecks or a major illness away from absolute economic devastation. It need not be this way, my friends, and if we get politically active, we can change it.